Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, episode 149 for October 2nd, 2017, with Scott and Brian. Everybody, welcome back. It's good to be here. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway over there. What's going on?
Thanks there over there, Scott Johnson.
What you doing over there? You got some stuff there? You doing things over there?
Yeah, I'm doing stuff over here. It's probably going to be video game related.
Yeah, you bastard. Brian got his Super NES Classic today.
I got my SNES Classic in today, baby, and this box is heavy. I think they may have just put bricks in here. So I haven't even opened it yet.
So I said this earlier, and I don't know how true it is, but I'll bet there's some like excess metal in there to make it seem more hefty and solid.
Right, I'm not sure.
Because the NES Classic, which I did get one of, is light. It doesn't feel heavy at all.
I don't know. Maybe they included all the original games in here in a little... No, they didn't, but wow, that is a big... Oh, wow, that package is nice.
Yeah.
I wish you could see this. Maybe I should put that back in there and do a video.
Well, you should. You should do an unboxing video like the whole rest of the internet does for everything.
That's right. Look what I got. Yeah. Here comes the box.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? You like having everything unboxed on YouTube and having everybody watch it?
I don't really... It's according. I do. If they get on with it, I'm okay with the unboxing. If they lollygag and they look at the box and the box is all... red and green. I'm like, oh my God, just open it already.
Yeah, I'm kind of not that big a fan of it. People want me to unbox things, so I've done it here and there because they request it. Right. But and then the video gets like 100 views. I'm like, okay,
that was. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting as long as you don't doubt. If you just kind of like, if you stretch it out too far, I mean, it's a box. How long does it take to open a box?
Yeah, like, yeah. If you're going, oh, I love the way they've sealed this with the tape here on the corners. And
oh, look at the plastic on this. It must be made out of 2-ply plastic.
Shut up!
2-ply plastic. I like it.
Plastics.
Hey, welcome back, everybody.
How did I get one?
Yeah, how'd you do it? What was your trick? Because you said to use your trick, and I don't remember what that is.
I did this on the first and this. I did it on the NES Classic Mini, and I've also did it on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition.
Yeah.
This was my trick. I signed up for the alert me on GameStop. So I said, hey, when the system comes available, alert me. And so it'll shoot out an email and I get it. Mm. And then I go click on the link. And every time, of course, it goes wrong. Mm. Sold out. So that's okay. Because then I whip my phone out and I go to the GameStop app. And if you do a search, don't go to the front page because it'll just say sold out there. But if you do a search for the system you're looking for, a ganky looking listing for the system will appear with minimum description and no picture.
Wow.
And yeah, and you click it. And I usually do it through PayPal. And I'll go to PayPal and I'll pay for it. And then PayPal won't even go back to the listing. It'll just say, we don't know. And so every time I get really nervous, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. Mm-hmm. It failed this time, but it works every time.
Wow. Who would have known?
Two times.
But that's amazing.
I'm assuming that they must make some kind of listing in the background and they haven't prepared it properly yet, but they got it there somewhere on the app.
Brian, let me ask you this question. What if you hate GameStop?
If you hate GameStop, then I guess you're just SOL because they have delivered for me both times. What do you hate about GameStop, Scott Johnson?
They screwed me up on a digital purchase I made for the Switch, and it was all their fault. I couldn't get their dumb key to work. It was a digital code purchase.
Right.
And tried, never worked. I finally said, fine, give me my money back. They refused to do that. I'm like, you can tell I haven't cashed the code in, so I don't have the product.
Right.
Because you have the code and you can see whether a code is used or not. And since I can't use it, I need the money back. Well, we don't. That's not our policy. These are one-time buy. I'm like, then you need to make the code freaking work, or I'm going to put a stick in your anus. And by the end of it all, they eventually got the code to work and they sent me a fresh code but they would never give my money back. And I was like, I think I'm done with you guys. That was the really bad experience.
Right. They all suck. It's kind of like my internet. It's like I've bounced back and forth and providers like 5 or 6 times and just, they all suck.
They all kind of blow. Everything blows. All things blow.
All things blow. Yeah. Right here on the Boop Show.
I'll tell you what doesn't blow. Golf Story. That's a video game. I got it on the Switch there, on the Nintendo Switch, and that was no problem. I downloaded that code without any issues. it's only $15, which I think is a complete ripoff for them, I mean, because I feel like I'm not giving them enough money because it's totally my kind of game. So, all right, picture, if you will, a top-down view, 8-bit era looking, although more colors.
I'm using my imagination. Hold on.
Okay, keep going. Okay, here it is. So imagine a little tiny dude, and you're running him around golf courses and stuff. If you've ever played like Mario Golf, there's definitely some similarities here, but they've gone really hard into the little mini RPG kind of experience. So you start a game. There's a single player story mode. There's also this like regular old ass golf mode. But this
with
one
like
is
Tiger Woods and everything.
No. Like you're just some weirdo, and the courses have weird, like these beavers. It's almost like an homage to
Caddyshack. Back up.
I know I'm getting too far. Like, you know, in Caddyshack, the gophers are always stealing the balls or whatever.
Yeah. And then Bill Murray blows them up with the dynamite.
Yeah. They have that in this, at least the gopher parts. So there's, if you get one into one of the gopher zone, there's beaver gopher things will run up, grab your ball and go hide it in a sand pit or something. Right. So a lot of goofy stuff like that. So very Mario golfish in that regard.
Right.
But where it shines is, the RPG elements are awesome. You'll just be running around this course and there'll be a dude standing there with a question mark or like a little speak bubble above his head. You go talk to him and he'll go, "Hey, you think you could do 9 holes faster than me? I don't think so." And now you basically got a quest and you try to beat this guy at the next 9 holes. Some of them are real dumb. Like, it's not even a golf game as much as it's like, throw your golf ball and hit this turtle in the head so he'll get out of the way because we can't move our golf cart through here until this turtle moves. And so
this game looks like it could easily run on my NES Mini.
Oh, yeah. It totally would. It totally would. I mean, it's old school as hell, but it is great. It is a delightful, special little game. And I just these kinds of games just get me. I don't know what it is, but you level up and you get new specs and you get gear and you buy stuff at the pro shops. And it's kind of funny. There's lots of goofball stuff happening where you're always playing with this girl who's really bad. So you'll see her, she'll go, "Hey, I'm just practicing," and she'll whack a ball that'll go like over into the wrong course and hit a guy in the head and knock him out. And she's like, "Oh,
that's
shoot.
Terrible. Is that are they trying to say something there? Or is it just
I don't think it's a female thing so much as it's just this person you're playing with is bad, but she gets better as time goes on. I have a feeling that by the end of the story she's gonna be like this pro level person and I'm gonna have a hard time beating her.
Good.
But she's funny. There's this weird old man that's like the coach of this original course you're on that just will not teach you anything.
Does he have like a wooden hand?
No, I wish. No, that'd be cool. A wooden hand would be great. But it's just goofy, a little bit off the wall, but also kind of compelling. The story's really well handled, and it's this old school thing, and you accomplish goals and quests by golfing. And I don't just mean here, do 18 holes. It's not like that. You'll occasionally do like 9 holes with somebody or something, but for the most part, it's like driving range, try to go further than I did, or here on the driving range, trying to hit these targets, or only have the ball land in the rough, never on the fairway.
Right.
See if you can get your ball in that way and get it under par. Like weird little challenges like that in some, if you just hear it talked about, it almost sounds like busy work, but it's not. It's like way cooler than that. So I'm going to just play a little audio here. Okay. So where are the speakers on this damn device? Okay. You hear the birds chirping in that?
I like the birds.
All right. I'm going to throw some balls just for fun. Oh, okay. I just have a pocket full of balls. Let's move back a little.
Pocket full of dirty balls need to be washed in the ball washer.
Oh, you hear that? Listen.
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, you can hear the thing going. But anyway, that's me throwing balls just for no reason. You just have unlimited balls. you can add a flag. Oh, there goes my flag. You can take that flag away. It's just a weird open world golf game, and they're tar pits in the place I'm at right now. I think there might be like dinosaur bones in there. There's a caveman that keeps yelling at me to do something. Like, it's just a weird-ass little game, and I can't recommend it enough. If you like that kind of magical-y, Nintendo-y kind of small experience like that, this is totally it.
Weren't people like, but you can get the free It can unlock the free golf game that's built into the Switch or something. Wasn't that a thing
so,
4 weeks ago?
Yeah. So did you hear what that turned out to be? So
No.
So, all right. So they called it, what they call flog backwards. Golf backwards is flog, right? And so everyone thought it was, some weird kind of little test thing or an Easter egg or, whatever. It turns out the only way you can activate it, and all Switch users can do this, you don't have to hack it to do it. That's how they found it, was hackers. But you don't have to hack it. You just have to do... Iwata, what's his name who just died? Nintendo's head of whatever. Or not just, I guess it was a year ago or something. But you take the motion controller and you do that hand signal he used to do on his direct videos. It unlocks the game. And why that's significant is... and you're supposed to do it on the date of his birth. So when he's... On the day he's born, which I forget what the date is, that's when you do it. It unlocks the golf game. That entire golf game that was on the NES back in the day, literally called Nintendo Golf, was programmed top to bottom by him alone. So it's just a tribute. The whole thing's a tribute to this to him. It has no, there's no other weird, Nintendo left some code around or any of that. It was like this really nice way of, and it actually accomplishes, from what I heard, accomplishes the secondary goal, which is a Japanese culture thing, where you... those who have passed on, you try to leave a part of them in an object. So like it might be ashes in an urn or, like it can be anything really, but sometimes it's
just... a toenail in your sandwich.
It could be a toenail in your sandwich. Sure. Why not? Gross. But in this case, they literally put this like fully fleshed out golf game that he made from scratch for Nintendo back when he was early with the company into every Switch. That's pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's what that was. But anyway.
I got to get a golf story now.
Oh, I'm in love with it.
I got to get a Switch.
I'm in love with it. It's only $15. Cheap. It's cheap and worth it. Not the Switch. You'll pay more than that for the Switch. But if you already have a Switch or if you're planning on getting one, I think Golf Story is one of the indies on there to absolutely buy. I don't think it's going to be anywhere else, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure if it's even Japanese developed, but it feels like it. There are parts where... some of the translation might be a little bit weird. Like this kid is always stealing food from the food truck at the golf course. And he's just sort of doing it randomly. And when he leaves, he yells instead of like, I gotcha or sucker. You're a sucker. He says, it suck on it or something like that. It's some kind of weird nonsense words.
I do miss the old Nintendo games where there's just weird characters existing for no reason other than to do weird stuff like that.
I run into him eventually, but who knows? I think I'm like level 6 or 7, not really that far into the game, but it's delightful and I crave it. Even now, talking to you, I crave playing it. Anyway, golf story.
You know something I crave playing?
What's that?
Well, it's been like about 2 weeks since we've did a boop show, but last time me and you got together... we played Duck Game. We talked about it and we did it. Did you post a video on YouTube?
Yeah, I think I did, didn't I? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't
behind?
Know.
I might be behind and maybe I didn't. But it's we need to if I didn't. It was fun.
So much fun.
That game's a riot and it was totally fun playing with you. We probably should do that again. We'll get four of us.
You mean somebody not as good as Civ? I
appreciate
that. Oh my
gosh,
that
bastard, dude. He's too good. He dominates in that game. But Duck Game continues to be rad. Now that there's like a leveling mechanic and progression in that thing, it's just ridiculous it even exists.
Yeah.
I kind of have this feeling that I don't, like when I heard Adult Swim was going to start publishing games back in the day, I just went, oh, right, whatever. It'll be all Samurai Jack and, it'll be stuff from Adult Swim or whatever. And instead, they have put out amazing little titles that got nothing to do with the Cartoon Network or Adult Swim for that matter. Like I could rattle off 5-6 of them that I just think are awesome on mobile, on Steam.
Their mobile games are great too. Always a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we'll do that again. And if you haven't played it out there, go get it, people. It's cheap.
Yeah, you can get like a 4-pack for like, I don't know, because I make up some number, $20.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
It's cheap.
That's a number. Hey, did you play the SNES Classic yet, or is it just unboxed, or what are you doing?
I haven't even unboxed it yet. I literally just opened it to make sure it weren't bricks in there, and then I shoved it all back in there so I could be legit later on to do my unboxing.
All right, do that, next week we'll talk about how, your thoughts on like what game stuck out, which one you like the most, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. No, I did play one other game, but while we've been gone.
What's that?
I played this game called Spin Tires.
Oh, have you heard of it? Spin Tires. What's that?
It's a piece of crap game that was on the Humble Bundle. Actually, it's a really fun game. It's this off-road kind of game, and it's almost not a game. You just get in these Soviet vehicles, and they're all big giant vehicles with big tires, and you drive around out in the back somewhere. I'm assuming somewhere in the back of Russia.
Yeah.
And you just try not to get stuck in the mud, or maybe you do get stuck in the mud. And there's a couple little mini games where you can like load up logs and that kind of stuff, but it's all just this weird virtual experience of being out in the mud and trying to get your tires in the proper place and turn the right tracking on, you know, so that you're either four wheel or, you know, you're doing the all wheel drive. And it's just, I don't know this. It sounds like it would be dumb when I read the description, but you know, it's part of the Humble Bundle. I was like, this looks stupid. Let me play it. And I had a really good time.
It's not the bundle I bought, I don't think, right? It's not the Road to Canada or Death Road to Canada or whatever.
I don't think so. This is probably about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the one I got is recent. I think the one I got is still up there right now.
I have a friend who's really big into race car games and car games, and he said, hey, you got to play that Spin Tires, man. And I'm there. Like, okay, man. And so we loaded it up, and I had a really good time. I wasted a good 30 or 45 minutes just trying to get unstuck out of these, you know, out of little ponds and things. And I'm like, really? Why am I enjoying this? I don't know.
Yeah.
But something fun about it.
All right. Well, there you have it then. Russian.
I have to take a shower.
Yeah. I have to take a shower anytime I do anything Russian. I understand that.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've done that. I know what's up. All right. Well, there's that. Hey, look at this. Let's dive into a little bit of Sony PlayStation news. There's a brand new PlayStation VR piece of hardware. Includes small...
That's why the old ones are going on sale.
That's right. That's why you're getting the deals. I had a feeling. I was like, ooh, these are getting cheaper. Sony's got a new one or a revision or something coming. Well, it turns out we're right. And many are saying that these are changes that are welcome to the device. They're going to release this new version later this month. It will include a few minor but helpful changes. According to Polygon.com, let's see, the new model, the CUH-ZVR2.
I see you.
Yeah, there you go. Features a slimmer, streamlined connection cable and integration of stereo headphones, headphone cables, rather, directly to the headset.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sure. Why not? The hardware revision also comes with a new version of the processor unit, the breakout box that connects to the PS4 and the VR together, which supports HDR pass-through. Previously, in order to get HDR compatibility features on the PS4 or PS Pro, VR owners had to disconnect the processor unit, which is kind of a bummer, but you don't have to do that now. The new processor unit is incompatible with the original PSVR. So if you had that headset, forget it. Ain't going to work. You can't just swap those around. However, I don't know why you'd buy just that anyway. Like,
I don't know either. That makes zero sense.
Yeah. I don't think you can. I think you have to buy them together.
There's right. No... And it sounds like it's all user experience differences, like making it more comfortable to wear, more comfortable to hook up, more comfortable just in general.
Yeah. Refinements, I'd say.
Right.
Seems good. But you have to be careful with that, right? Like if Sony made too many big changes, people would be pissed because they're like, I just bought this damn thing. And now you give me a new one. Brah.
I can't take it. So now I've got to make that decision. Do I go with the old or do I go with the new? I got to go with the new, yeah, right?
Go with the new. October's free PS Plus games are out for PS4, PS3, and Vita, or at least they've been announced. I don't know if they're actually hit yet. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. But
nah, yes, like the later.
Yeah. Well, here's what we got on PS4. Amnesia Collection. So that's all those Amnesia games. No, thank you. I get scared. No.
Got them on the PC.
Yeah, you got them games on PC. Hue. I don't know what Hue is. What's Hue? Hue's game.
I know what Hue is, but not in relation to video gaming.
No, it's some kind of. It's not the Borg guy from that episode of TNG. It's the color Hue, the Hue as in color. Who knows what that is? Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain. That is an awesome thing to get for free. That game was great. I loved every second of that damn thing.
The Phantom Pain.
Oh, dude, you ever play that? You should have played Metal Gear 5. It's amazing. Such a game. Skyforce Anniversary, PS3, you got Hustle Kings, Monster Jam Battlegrounds, Skyforce Anniversary, and on the Vita, you have Hue and Skyforce Anniversary. My takeaway is they're trying to get rid of Skyforce Anniversary.
That's what I'm thinking. This is looking pretty trashy this time around. I've had some good PS4 games on the PS Plus, but this one's not impressed.
I'm going to tell you, though, Phantom Pain, if it was the only one they did, it'd be worth it.
It might be.
It's a full-blown, that's a big-ass AAA amazing game and worth playing.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll download it.
Take my word for it. In the world of Nintendo, Stardew Valley hits the Switch later this week. You may know of the beloved farming sim, Stardew Valley. Did you play that on the PC when it came out, by chance?
I played like a... No, I did not.
I did. I bought it. It's good. It's a single dude
no
made
thanks.
It.
No thanks. Already have Farmville.
One dude made it. It plays more like...
AOE?
No, like Animal Crossing. It's it's a bit like that. But it's also a little like the Harvest Moon games. There's some influences there, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. And for about 4 or 5 days straight, that's all I wanted to do, and then I burned out. But it's coming to the Nintendo Switch on the 5th. That's just a few days from now, after nearly a year of testing. From Switch to Wii U to Switch. The Switch from Wii U to Switch. Get it? the game's going to cost you $15 on the eShop. Here's what the developer said. I'm very happy to see Stardew Valley come to Nintendo's console. I grew up on Nintendo, after all, wrote Concerned Ape, the one-man development team behind the 2016 Smash hit. He says this on the official site. This will not only be the first time Stardew Valley appears on a Nintendo platform, but also the first time Stardew will be on any portable system.
Oh, it looks like a Nintendo game.
It's a great game. It's more 16-bit than 8-bit, but it's good. It's worth playing if you like that managey, farmy, relationshipy, going to town, and this one even has caves and like monsters to kill and all kinds of stuff.
Cave monsters.
It was really impressive for a one-man game. I still can't believe only one guy made that thing, but and it sold really well on Steam, so I'm sure he's doing just fine. Hopefully it will do well on console. I paid $19.99 for it on PC, and this is less. That's usually the other way around. But we'll take it. Also, Darkest Dungeon is coming to the Nintendo Switch. There was no date given, but this is a great game. I have it on PC and an iPad, and I think the iPad might be the definitive version. It's really strong on there.
Right.
But if you've never played Darkest Dungeon, it's a that thing's a trip. It's just like dark and dungeony, which is not really saying much.
Description of the week is Darkest Dungeon.
You'd like it because it's very like hard edge comic art. The art's really cool, and the voiceover guy is always going, "You must go to the center of the thing and don't lose your mind, for that is the way." Like, it's just evil and dark, and not evil, but it's cool. Right. I like it a lot. It's very gothic.
You got my number. It's true story. I'm a sucker for those well narrated stories. This kind of dungeon crawly, dark kind of like that. I do love the art style. It's very. I don't know how to describe
it. It's chunky and harsh and you know, kind of Hellboy-ish a little bit.
I can see that. I can see a little bit of that in there.
Yeah,
sure.
Little Mike Mignola kind of out.
Mignola.
How you say his last name? Mignola? Mignola?
Yeah, like you said.
Minola? Where's Obsidian when you need him? anyway, that's a thing.
Looks good.
Yeah. No,
Dang it.
It looks great.
They're going to, Switch is going to $15 me to death, aren't they?
No, they might. Yeah, their indie stuff is all right around that price. So yeah, you're gonna get screwed. And these are all really good for portable play. It's only 10, I guess, on iOS. I don't know if it's on Android tablets or not. It's only tablets, not phones. It's a big interface, so I can see why that is. But I play a lot of that on the iPad, and it's an excellent experience. So check it out. Darkest Dungeon coming soon. Also, Mario comes out this month. That's gonna be rad. Looking forward to that. More on that as we get closer. And finally, in Nintendo news, the Legend of Zelda Encyclopedia is coming out next year from Dark Horse. Do you get into these things, these collection books?
I do. I had the last one, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I like this stuff, too. 320 pages, compiles entries for enemies, items, potions, concept art, screen caps, maps, characters, language, and more. This will encompass everything up from 1986, which was the first game, Twilight Princess HD, which came out in 2016 on the Wii U. So this does not include the Switch Wii U game, but what's it called, the new one? Breath of the Wild.
Right.
So it's everything up to that point, basically. And it's got all the history, all the story, all the stuff, all the many links and where they came from and all that. So $40.
I had the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia. Oh. That was a good time.
Yeah. Well, this one will be even a better time. And it's only $40. Amazon's got pre-orders up now. You can go get it if you want it. So go get it. Microsoft, they're doing a thing they should have done a long time ago, and I'm really glad they're doing this, but they now support game gifting with Xbox One's online store. Why is it 2017 and I am just now being able to do this? That's ridiculous.
It is, because they used to want you to buy those space points so you could... It's like, we don't need to let them buy the game. We'll just let them purchase space points, and then they can give that as a gift. And that was just stupid.
It was stupid. But they've promised this feature for a little bit now, and now it's going to happen. This will also happen with some Windows 10 games that support the Play Anywhere protocol. Right. So you can either send a title directly to one of your Xbox Live friends or to an email address. Basically, it works like Steam.
Isn't that the best, though? It's being able to send somebody a gift. I gave someone just this other week. I just sent it to them. It's just so much fun to ship that off and go, here you go.
Hell yeah. I do it on Steam all the time. It doesn't have to be some cheap thing. Sometimes it's just like, oh, I found a thing I know my friend's going to love. Here's a copy of, Duck Game really is the best gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Everyone give your friends Duck Game and let's all play. All right?
Let's play.
Yeah. That sounds good to me. In the world of PC gaming, PUBG got hit with a bunch of negative reviews, which this is the part I don't like about Steam. People can go in and game the review system. Anyway, following Chinese in-game ads, despite being fully localized, Chinese players complain of lag-affected local servers that are often forced to join European and North American games. Conversely, native players in these forums report migrant players bringing their own lag.
Build a wall!
And can be done. At times unplayable. Yeah, build a wall. That's what we want in PUBG.
Yeah.
A big wall of blue.
It's working so well in the real world, let's take it to the virtual world.
That's right. Chinese players now have reported all this this in-game advertising for an accelerator VPN service. It's supposed to boost connections, and so they're advertising that. But anyway, apparently that's causing problems. Also, players do not feel like in-game advertising is appropriate for a game that is not free to play. Right. And that Bluehole could do more to support their servers as opposed to promoting the advertisement of tools used to better access foreign ones. The result of this unrest has seen almost 10,000 negative reviews posted on the PUBG Steam page in the last day. 10,000 in one day.
Wow. That's a lot of Chinese.
I'll tell you something, dude. I got a theory. You want my theory?
Oh my, yes, please.
Okay, let me lay this on you. Do I have a sound for the theory? Let's see. No, that didn't work. Hold on. Let's try that again. All right. Here's my theory.
Scott has a theory.
I played Fortnite, the Battle Royale thing that came out.
I did, too.
It's free. It's a ripoff of PUBG. But then again, PUBG is just a ripoff of Battle Royale. But anyway, the point is that it's this very direct influenced game mode. Right. There's no question. Like, as soon as I jumped out of the plane, I went, oh, okay, we're playing the game that I've already been playing.
This is.
But it's free, and it's good, by the way. I think it's actually really good.
It's fine.
Solid, yeah. In fact, I may prefer it because it's just more polished and like it feels more finished. PUBG feels janky and half broken half the time. But anyway, the point is, that's not the point. The point is, I have this theory. I think the heat is on. That developer, Player Unknown, and in association with Bluehole, Chinese, or are they Korean? Anyway, whatever their publishing arm is. They came out and had this enormous hit. And if they're smart, they're seeing the writing on the wall, which is every shooter to ever come out ever from now on will have a mode like this, if not a full focus like this. Right. It's just going to be the way it is. There's no getting around it. So they need to accept and embrace that as soon as possible and not try to hunker down and say nobody can get to make this but us, because that doesn't work. It won't hold up in court.
Nope.
Anybody can make this kind of experience. Genres don't get copyrighted like that. So they're going to get – a ton of these are going to get made. And what's happening is there's pressure to do other things, to shore things up, to ensure they've got the money where they need it, even though they made a ton from the sell of the game. And part of that is goofing up by adding a bunch of Chinese – VPN ads to your game.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that's what's happening, though. I think the honeymoon might be over, and things are getting a little weird over there. They're getting
a bad time.
A little restless, because you got monster companies. I mean, it would not... There's nothing to stop, say, Blizzard from 3 weeks from now going, in today's developer preview, we'd like to just announce that Overwatch is getting a new mode. It's called 100 Man Stand. And you know what I mean? Like, you could do this across the board. The Call of Duties will suddenly have a mode in there with 100 players on a map trying to be the last one standing. It's not that far-fetched. And I think I think the heat is on, and I think they feel it. And you can, and their response to that whole thing has been proof of that to me. They were, like, very defensive.
They weren't the first person. This is something people have been trying to accomplish for years. They've talked about the idea for years. They were just the first ones to do it successfully.
Is a good way to put it, because there's already other games before this and other mods for other engines and other games, stuff for Arma. In fact, the PlayerUnknown did a mod for Arma that was based on this idea before he went off on his own, that all did the same idea. H1Z1's the same damn game. I mean, it's not as good, and that's the point. PUBG is good, so good that it became the big poster child, and it maybe could forever be that if they keep working on it. I think what they're worried about is very talented, very money rich companies like Epic have all the resources in the world to make a more polished, more complete, more finished game than they've got even so far. And that scares them. And I don't blame them. I'd be scared too.
Let the consumer bitch about people ripping you off. Let them bitch about it.
Let them
it'll do you more. It'll do you more good.
There you go. Also, hackers have already targeted Call of Duty World War II's multiplayer. Oh, no.
Of course.
The open beta for Call of Duty World War II has been only live for a few days, but some people are finding out that not everybody in the game is not cheating. A recent thread on Reddit discussing these issues of hackers in the Call of Duty beta have attracted hundreds of comments, with many gamers lamenting how quickly cheaters were able to become such a widespread issue with just about a month to go before the game officially launches, which sounds crazy to me, but I guess we're that close to the November, aren't we? It'll be interesting to watch how quickly Sledgehammer Games and Raven Software are able to react to the rule-breaking gamers. The most blatant of this thing is obvious aimbots, like always. It's always aimbots, dude. Aimbots.
You know, it is always aimbots. And you know what? It's always a question in my mind, how many were actually aimbots? Because people get accused of it all the time. Some people are just really damn good. But then again, you know, some people are just a little bit too good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's obvious because the interface is weird or whatever, but
right.
I watched a streamer once streaming Overwatch using an aimbot. He's a total idiot because that's against every rule possible, and he got banned from the game for life. And from Twitch, I think. But anyway, the point was that his interface was all weird and had like weird UI and stuff. But you're right. Some of these guys are just straight up playing. In fact, speaking of Overwatch, Blizzard kicked a player from Overwatch thinking there was evidence of aimbotting. And at the end of the day, this person, a Korean player or something, had to prove that they weren't doing it, and they were just that good. So
you just come watch me. I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm good. Come to Korea.
Cheater, 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 Chicken Peter.
Yeah, Chicken Peter. You know what? Chicken Peter is a great name for something like a character. Chicken Peter. Oh, I got to think of it. I'm going to steal your idea. Thanks, Brian.
It's all yours. Run with it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I like having a good idea in my head. Time for some quick emails. Got one here from Justin from Arkansas, or as my dad used to say, Arkansas.
Yeah.
He says this: Scott and Brian, like many gamers, I have the issue of having a huge game backlog, and there are so many games that come out each year, it's difficult to keep up. Do you gentlemen feel that there will be a point in time when you will clear out your backlog, or will it be forever doomed to have a list of great games we'll never be able to play? Thanks for being awesome, Justin from Arkansas. My simple answer is, I got a real problem. If you look at Steam alone, there's no way. It's not humanly possible for me to play everything I own, or that it's been given to me or gifted or keyed or, you know. Now, as far as the games I want to play, I will find a way to play what I want to play. But will I finish everything? Will I max out all of Fallout 4? Probably not. Will I finally play Dishonored 2 because I want to? Maybe, but I may wait for a sale. And then even then, who knows? Like, we live in an embarrassment of riches time And I see why people go, I'm only playing League of Legends, that's all I'm ever going to do. Or I will only play World of Warcraft and never do anything else. I kind of get it, because in a way it's liberating to just pick a thing and focus on it, you know?
Right, right. So. It's a true story. And, you know, it's kind of the same issue we have on film sack. Because everybody always says, hey, what you going to do when you run out of bad films to sack? And we go...
Yeah,
they keep making them.
They're never gonna be at. Well, dude, we watched a movie from 2003 the other day. I mean, come on.
Yep.
There's plenty.
They're not gonna stop making them, and they're not gonna stop making games. So unless I just go, no more games, people.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. You got to play what you want to play. And sometimes for me, it's dipping my toe in lots of pools. Like the nice thing about the Switch, the thing I love about this device has been that it's not. I can spend my TV / console / PC time where I need to. But then if there's 15 minutes before I got to go to sleep or something, I've got the Switch right there. I can just get in there and throw some golf balls at an old man for no reason, right? Like, I've got stuff I can accomplish in there.
Stop it.
And it's really added to my gaming life. So, yeah, it's a fair point, though. That I have a lot of games I'll probably never finish. And there is a piece of me that says, oh, man, I really should finish this. Why am I not doing that?
The biggest driver for me to going back to backlog is usually a sequel. Anytime you know, every time they go, oh, we're going to do this next version of this, then I'll go, oh, I better go back and play the first one completely through.
Yeah. Or sometimes I hear about a sequel and I'll be like, I don't want to go play the first one. I just want to wait for the new hot new thing, you know?
True.
That's sometimes hard for me, but.
Will you ever finish the whole Fallout series? It's always been on my list of things to do from start to finish.
Well, I beat Fallout 2. I played 1, beat 2, played most of 3, beat New Vegas. And then I'm pretty far in 4.
Right.
But I don't think I'll ever max them all out. There's no way. It's too much.
No way.
Those games alone are too much. Maxing out Skyrim is too much. Like, I don't even know if it's possible. Maybe it is, but I don't know if it is. It's 300 hours minimum if you want to try to do that. 300 hours, Brian. 300.
That's too many. Quitter, Chicken Peter.
That makes you
right.
Wanna,
that's not how that works.
No, Quitter, Chicken Peter.
No, that's not right. That was Cheater.
No, it's Chicken. Winner, Chicken Dinner. And then there's Peter, Pumpkin Eater. You're just mixing them all up. Yeah, Peter, Chicken Peter. Oh, my Lord. I know what I'm naming this episode. All right. One final email from Pauline X, it says. I assume that's a girl. I don't know. It says, I heard Blizzard is making a new mobile game. What do we know, says this email. It's a short one. Right. We know that it's a MMORTS. Why do we know this? Because Blizzard... probably accidentally put a job posting up that literally said, we're looking for a programmer in Unity to work on a new mobile game that will be an MMORTS. So whether they announced that at BlizzCon or not, that's an unknown, but sounds like they're working on it, and it also jives with the people that are now in secret teams. So Dustin Browder from Heroes of the Storm and StarCraft. I can't think of names all of a sudden. Brian Holinka. Multiplayer dude from WoW. He's moved over to some team. Ex-WoW people, ex-Diablo people. Like, there are people who are really smart in areas that would benefit an RTS MMO style game that are definitely working on some project, and we've never been told what it is. So, that's what we know. We don't know anything else. Is it based on StarCraft?
It's going to be hot.
Yeah, it could be hot. Probably going to be huge, right?
Right, got to be.
It's Blizzard, after all. And this would be their first... mobile only focus, not, you know, whereas Hearthstone's on both, you know, desktop and mobile. This is expected to be a purely mobile experience, whatever that means. So time will tell. If it's set in the StarCraft universe, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd also be a little surprised. I'll bet it's something new or based in Overwatch, because Overwatch seems to just be printing money right now. So who knows?
Right.
If you want to send your own emails into the show, you can do that. It's boopshow@gmail.com. And while I'm at it, make sure you go to frogpants.com/boop. All our links and stuff are there. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Brian at The Brian Dunaway. Follow me at Scott Johnson. The show at Boop Show. This is all on Twitter, by the way, folks. And support the Patreon over at frogpants.com. I think that's going to do it. Brian, any final words? Chicken Peter, monkey
chicken,
eater.
Chicken. Cheater, Chicken Peter. I'm
there you go.
You.
Cheater, picking cheater. What? No, chicken cheater, pumpkin Peter. This is the worst
this
conversation
week on
we've ever
Rhymes
had.
With Scott.
Yeah, this is bad. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We are out of here. We'll be back next week. Looks like we're maybe shifting the recording schedule to Monday, so look forward to us on Mondays. If you have questions, find us on Twitter and ask. It's going to do it for us. for me and for Brian. We'll see you next time. Boop. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.